all those mothers as we consider resting on our Savior.
Amen. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. When I hear that song now, I think of my brother Westco. That song was sung at his funeral. And so continue to pray for the Westco family, for their comfort and direction. Proverbs 31 and verse 27 we'll begin with, Lord willing. Title this message, Now I Know Why Babies Cry. Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Proverbs 31 and verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, today is the day set aside to honor mothers, and we do honor each of you mothers here today. We pray the Lord would bless you. As I mentioned, for 20 plus years, moms are on call 24/7, and actually it doesn't stop at 20. If you're 80 and your mom is still alive, she'll be there to listen to you and to help you and to counsel you and to pray for you. So what a tremendous calling and a task it is to be a mom. Verse 28 there says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Have you ever wondered why babies cry? Well, younger siblings wonder why that little baby cries so much. You know, what is wrong with the baby? Well, you eventually figure out, is the baby hurt? Is the baby hungry? Does the baby need to be changed? Does the baby need to be burped? And the next one will kind of tell your age. Did the diaper pin come unhooked? And is it poking the baby? That was before all the disposable diaper days come along. So, but that used to be a concern. The baby is crying hard. So, but I think after living through this coronavirus, I think I have a deeper appreciation of why babies cry. Let's turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And verse 4. Psalm 142, verse 4. The Bible says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would what? Know me. Refuge failed me. No man what? Cared for my soul. I think after watching what and listening to what has happened to our country and around the world, I have a deeper appreciation for why babies cry. Number one, babies cry because, sadly, they're deemed non-essential. We've heard a lot about what is essential and what is non-essential in these couple months of this coronavirus. On April 9th of this year, our state senate in Michigan approved a document by our governor, and the heading of that document is, it says this, temporary requirement to suspend activities that are not necessary to sustain or protect life. There were some exceptions in that executive order, and under point 7 on that document in letter A, one exception is individuals may leave their home or place of residence and travel as necessary. And then under that point A, there were many different points. Point 5 says this, that they're accepted from this order. It's okay to leave your residence if it is, number 5, to perform tasks that are necessary to their health and safety, or to the health and safety of their family or household members. So that was an exception. You could leave your home to tend to the health and safety of your family or household members. Point 8, that was point 5. Point 8 says there's an exception to care for minors, children, dependents, the elderly, persons with disabilities, or other vulnerable persons. So point 5, let me remind you, was the health and safety of your family or household members. It was permitted to travel for the health and safety of your family. And point 8 was, it was permitted to travel for the care for other vulnerable persons. And then I was reading through this time, and this interview was done with our governor on April 17th, so it's been a little while, in another week. It will also be a few weeks ago. But it says, as during a recent CNN interview in which David Axelrod was talking with the governor of Michigan, he asked her plans for Michigan because some other states were banning abortions as a non-essential during the coronavirus outbreak. Our governor responded, I quote, "We stopped elective surgeries here in Michigan. Some people have tried to say that type of a procedure, that is, an abortion, is considered the same, that is, an elective procedure." And she said, "That's ridiculous." I go on to quote, "A woman's health care, her whole future, her ability to decide if and when she starts a family is not an election. It is fundamental to," and I want you to remember these two words. She said, "It's fundamental to her life, the mother's life." I go on quoting, "It, an abortion, is life-sustaining. And it is something that government should not be getting in the middle of." So our governor was asked the question, there's other states that are not permitting abortions during this time of coronavirus. What do you think about it? And she responds that this is a matter that's fundamental to the mother's life, not to the baby's life. And she calls abortion a life-sustaining procedure. Well, it really hit me during this time, thinking about those words of our governor, because abortion is not life-sustaining for the baby, it's life-ending for the baby. And yet, going back to think about what was stated. Now, if you were a baby, I want you to look at this from a baby's perspective today. If you were a baby, wouldn't you cry at those words? That there are so many businesses that have been kept open because they're life-sustaining. Well, what would you think if you were a baby in the womb and you heard the person with the highest office in our state say that your life is not important, that it's someone else's life that's more important than you? Wouldn't you cry? That point five, remember I quoted to you, perform tasks that are necessary to their health and safety or to the health and safety of their family or household members. Is not a baby a member of that family? Yes, indeed. You just check DNA and you'll find out that that baby is a member of that family. There's no denying it through a DNA test. That baby, as early as 14 days, a heartbeat can be detected after conception. That baby is a living life. That baby, just think of you and me. Put yourselves in that position of the baby in the womb. Babies in the womb respond to sounds. Now, that's why when a baby is born, mother's voice is not a new sound to baby. That baby has been hearing that voice. The daddy's voice is not a new sound to that baby because that baby has heard that voice before. How would you feel if you were that baby? You know, as adults, we've all, the battle cry during this whole coronavirus is don't be selfish. Think of the elderly. Think of the vulnerable. And I am thinking of that, and I know you have too. But aren't we forgetting someone? The babies. We're forgetting about them. That number eight, to care for minors, little ones, the elderly, persons with disabilities or other vulnerable persons. So people have given up a lot to protect certain groups of people. Now, when you are a baby in the womb, you are a minor. You're a child under the age of legal age. When you are a baby in the womb, you fit into that disability category, do you not? You can't do a lot on your own. In fact, if you're too early before due date, you can't even survive outside of the womb without help. So vulnerable disabilities, indeed. So if you were a baby in the womb, wouldn't you cry? If the person holding the highest office in your state said that you are not important, just the lives of other people. Now, if it's okay to take the life, you may say, what does this to do with Mother's Day? Well, there are no mothers without babies. It has everything to do with Mother's Day. Now, if you are the baby in the womb, I want you to think about this. If your mommy has the right to stop your life because it's deemed not convenient for her, not the best time. Our governor said that mom should have this right. This is life-sustaining, her life-sustaining. If she feels it's not the right time to start a family, bring that over to, what if you're 2 months old and you start crying in the middle of the night because you're hungry? What if your mommy deems it's not convenient for her to get up and feed you, and so it's okay to take your life? Wouldn't you cry? Yeah, you would. You would cry. Or if you were a one-year-old and needed your diaper changed, and you went to your mommy and she said, I'm sorry, but it's not convenient for me to change your diaper, so I'm just going to kill you. Wouldn't you cry? Yeah, I think you would. I think you would cry. Wouldn't you cry if you got a little bit older and your mommy said, you went to your mommy and said, I need a new pair of shoes, or I need a new coat. And your mommy said, it's not convenient for me financially at this time to buy you shoes or to buy a coat, so I think I'm just going to kill you. Wouldn't you cry if your mommy said that? Yes, you would. Now I know why babies cry. We are so hypocritical. So hypocritical. We'll read this verse again, Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would what? Know me. Refuge failed me. No man what? Cared for my soul. Babies cry because their lives are considered to be non-essential in this civilization in which we now live. Wouldn't you cry? You know what? That's quite in contrast to the highest leader there is, and that is God. Notice in Psalm 139, Psalm 139, verse 13. The Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me where? In my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, some people look at this and they say, okay, well, the baby's not fully formed, so it's okay to stop this life. And they consider it a non-life because they say, well, it's not finished. How many of you have ever seen a house that's not yet finished? How many of you have a house that's not yet finished? I confess. Do you consider that a non-house? Try this. go to your township or city to the tax assessor and say, sir, ma'am, I respectfully appeal this tax because I am living in a non-house because it is not finished. And so I request my taxes to be null and void. You know what they're going to tell you? Sorry. They probably won't say sorry. I don't know what they'll say. They'll say it is a house. I have sympathy for you that it's not finished in whatever aspect, but I'm sorry, but it is a house. Why then we acknowledge it's a house? Then why do we pretend that the baby is not a baby because it's not finished? It's a baby. All you have to do is look at the ultrasound and look at here. God has all those little things down in his book. When our babies were born, I just admired those tiny little fingers and those tiny little toes. It's just a miracle of God. So, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were what? Written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And I want you to notice verse 17. How what? Precious also are what? Thy thoughts what? Unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Can you imagine going from this world that deems babies in the womb as non-essential, as okay to kill? Can you imagine leaving this hateful atmosphere and going to be with the Lord who has precious thoughts toward us? In verse 17 again, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Imagine going from a world that doesn't even want to see your face. I have done some really stupid things in my life that I just hated to even show my face. But can you imagine being in a situation where people so much hate you and think you are an annoyance to them that they don't even want to see your face? That's the way abortion is. They've never even seen your face, but they don't want you. Going from a world that doesn't want to see your cute little hands and toes and sometimes ultrasounds catch a baby sucking his or her thumb in the womb. Can you imagine someone not even wanting to see the cute little things a baby does? Or going from a world that doesn't even want to see your cute little nose. You know, how many times do people say, oh, he has his nose or she has her nose? Or going from a world that doesn't even want to see your features and guess who you take after. Going from a world that never wants to once hear your little voice. Not once. Children say the cutest things, and it takes a little while to get to that point. But it's such a fun age, isn't it? I remember some of our children couldn't say banana, so they said blanas. They put an L in it, blanas. I want a blana. A little further on, we saw a bulldozer, and it was a dozover. And just the cute little things that children say. Can you imagine? Is it any wonder that babies cry? No one ever wants to hear their voice, not even once. And the cute little things, they never had a chance to say one cute little thing. Now, you moms know the most about this point. But as kids, can you imagine being a little baby and no one wants to look into your eyes? A baby looks at Mama so many hours with those deep, searching eyes, and you're wondering, what is this little baby thinking of right now? Just, you look down into those little eyes, and you're just wondering, what are you thinking? But imagine, is it any wonder that babies cry when no one wants to even see those eyes? No one even wants to wait and see what color those eyes are actually going to be. They don't want to know. It's no wonder to me that babies cry. And then going to be with the Lord. Notice in Revelation 21, going from such a hateful world to a place where there's no pain. And of course, if you ever were to have a surgery and no painkiller, and just think of all the aborted babies that are feeling all of this pain, it's horrible. In Revelation 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away what? All tears from their eyes. Just think, do you realize every day in America, over 3,000 babies are killed, aborted? God's wiping away a lot of tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor what? Crying. Neither shall there be any more what? Pain. For the former things are passed away. Just imagine your life ending because no one loved you enough to ever, not even one time, hold you. Can you imagine that? You are so despised that no one has the desire to hold you even once. But going into the precious arms of Jesus, notice in Deuteronomy 33, there is someone that has some arms that longs to hold you, and that's our Heavenly Father. In Deuteronomy 33, 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are what? The everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. So the everlasting arms. Look with me in Luke 16. There was a poor man, and he was sick and dying. He had no money. His health was gone. And he died. In Luke 16:20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was what? Carried by who? The angels into Abraham's bosom. Think of all of the aborted babies that no one ever desired to hold or to carry. But the minute they die, are carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So, after seeing what's happened in coronavirus, I know why babies cry now. A deeper reason why babies cry. They cry because they're considered non-essential. Our leaders, many of our leaders, have publicly stated babies are non-essential. Number two, babies cry because they suffer discrimination. They suffer discrimination. Notice in Proverbs 28, and verse 21. Proverbs 28, verse 21. The Bible says to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Now, this type of respect is not being polite, that's not the issue. It's showing, this type of respect is showing partiality. And the definition is to disregard, to ignore, to be strange toward, to reject. So we were told at the very beginning of this coronavirus that us must be unselfish. We must be willing to give up our jobs, even though it will be a loss of wage for a time. We need to be willing to give up our freedom traveling about, all for the sake of the health and safety of others who might be more vulnerable. So we're told to do this. We are told to be willing to forsake some of our pleasures. All sports were canceled. And you know what? When that happened, I really didn't hear any complaining. I mean, probably people did, but I didn't hear any complaining that they were canceled. In Michigan, for a time, it was against the law to do water sports. It was against the law to take out a powered boat on lakes. Even golf courses were forbidden to open. A lot of people love golf and all kinds of hobbies. Hobbies and pleasures, people stopped. I didn't hear any people complaining about not going golfing. I don't really know anyone that is their hobby, so maybe that's why I didn't hear anyone complaining about it. But many stores were closed, so it was like, there's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. Even parks were closed. Many parks were closed. But we were told to be willing to sacrifice for others, and we were. We were willing. But for a baby, that's the exact reason that a baby is aborted, is because it's interfering with someone's plans and pleasure. It's interfering with someone's ability to make an income. Stay home from our jobs, but many people will not stay home from a job to care for a child. That's asking too much. Willing to forsake our pleasures. Many people get abortions because it's going to interfere with their pleasure. In other words, okay, so we are expecting a baby, but if we go through with this, it's going to interrupt our vacation plans. You know, maybe next year we wanted to take a really great vacation. Having a baby may very well interrupt that. Or some other big plans. It might be that you were ready for a promotion in the next how many months. Having a baby is going to cancel that. Maybe you are due for a raise. Having a baby, cancel that. And so people say, it's not convenient. If we go ahead and have this baby at this time, it's going to destroy our freedom. Having a baby ties you down. And so people abort that baby. But notice with me in Psalm 127. You know what? There's a lot of people that were willing to keep the motorboat on the trailer and not go out on the lake to protect somebody else's life. But do you realize there are some people who would say, wait a minute, I'm not ready to have a baby at this time because I want to buy this bass boat or this speed boat or this motorhome. Or, hey, wait a minute, I was due next year to get a new truck. Remember, we can't have a baby at this time. I want my truck or a new house. Wait a minute, we can't have a baby right now. We were going to build next year. All having a baby means you have to give up free time, pleasures, other things that you had planned. People are willing to wear masks during this time to protect the elderly and vulnerable. And it affects their looks. I was talking to someone in the grocery store. I believe it was my wife. And one of the cashiers, she was talking to her and she said, you know what? You can't tell when people are smiling or not. Everybody has a mask on. And one of them said, well, you have to look at the eyes. When someone is smiling, you can kind of see it in their eyes. You know, you kind of scrunch up there, you know, a little bit when you smile. The fact of the matter is that the world is wearing masks. And the world puts a lot of stock in their looks. And right now, it doesn't mean much, the looks. On the other hand, I guess you don't have to care about how you look when you go out. You just put the mask on and you're okay. But do you realize how many people do not want a baby because of looks? It's like, hey, that might mean I have some extra pounds on that I don't really want on. It'll affect my looks. But we were willing to give up our looks to protect the elderly and vulnerable. I know now why babies cry. Because for people and their own looks, they reject, they consider babies non-essential. The governor of New York told his people on May 4th, he says, go for a walk, but respect the social distancing and wear a mask. Well, people protested it, and so after the protest, he said this, I quote, it's reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's not about your life. It's about other people's lives. And the reason he said that is because a lot of the protesters were not wearing masks. And so the governor said, of those people, he said, it's reckless, it's irresponsible, and it's not about your life. It's about other people's lives. But if I was a baby, I would surely cry at his words. Because 1 year, in a couple months, a few months before he said that, I saw a picture of him signing a paper for the state of New York, legalizing abortion right up until the baby is born. A drastic measure in New York, changing it from, it used to be if the mother's life was at risk, they changed the wording to the mother's health. And they changed it from the penal code to the health code. So it's like this. If having this baby is too much stress for me in my life right now, or if it's going to depress me. How many of you have ever heard of the baby blues? Yeah. There's a lot of moms that will give birth to a baby, and just for some unknown emotional reason, they'll just cry. It's not that they're not happy to have the baby. They're just crying, and don't ask why. It's okay. Just cry. But you see, when he signed that paper in New York, now it's okay. If it's just too much on my emotions right now, abort the baby and have it over with. That was just over 1 year ago that was done. And next to the governor of New York smiling, signing that paper, was a woman standing right at his side who was smiling. She's an attorney from the state of Texas, the one who argued Roe versus Wade in 1973. And I saw the picture. She had a big smile on her face. And she was there just to egg him on in signing that piece of legislation, a sweeping matter in abortion. For the years between 2012 and 2014, those 3 years, 2012, 13, and 14, live births for the state of New York in those 3 years were 237,499. So 237,499. Do you know how many abortions they did in those 3 years? 285,127. They killed 47,000 more babies in those 3 years than were born alive. They killed, through abortion, almost 50,000 more babies through abortion than were born in those 3 years. If you were a baby, wouldn't you cry in New York, in this land? Notice with me back in Psalm 142, verse 4. Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Do you realize when you are aborted, there's no one who knows you? No one's ever seen you. There was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know what that is in today's terminology? Non-essential. Non-essential. No man cared for my soul. Our governor tweeted a picture of herself in 2018 with a pink cap, baseball cap on. And on the front, it said, on the top, it said, Planned Parenthood makes America great. Planned Parenthood makes America great. If you were a baby, wouldn't that make you cry? Planned Parenthood is the biggest killer of babies in our nation. This last year, they broke their own record. And they killed 345,000 babies this last year. They broke their own record. You may say, why is Michigan so high in deaths from coronavirus? Why is New York leading? As of this morning, New York has suffered 26,584 deaths attributed to coronavirus. There's questions about this whole thing, this whole counting. But nonetheless, officially this morning, 26,584 people have died in New York from coronavirus. Do you think that has anything to do with that paper he signed 1 year ago? You may say, how can you say such a thing? Well, I want to leave you two passages in closing. First of all is Numbers 35. Numbers 35. Could the high death rate in Michigan from coronavirus have anything to do with that pink cap? This is Planned Parenthood makes America great. Numbers 35:33. The Bible says, so ye shall not what? Pollute the land wherein ye are. For what? Blood. It what? Blood. It defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by what? The blood of him that shed it. I didn't say these words. God did. It's God that says blood defiles the land. Now people can mock and scoff at that, but let's turn to the last passage here in Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Be not what? Deceived. God is what? Not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, and this type of sowing is not needle and thread, it's planting seeds in the ground. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. Sign a paper, the death warrant. New York is the number one state in abortions. Number one. They do the most abortions. In fact, I've read before that they've encouraged other people from other states that are more restrictive, come to New York and get an abortion. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They have sown the blood of aborted babies, and look at the innocent people now that have died through coronavirus. They top all states. Do you find it interesting that New York tops all other states for abortions and that New York tops all other states for coronavirus death? Think about what God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his what? His flesh. Shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. I just want to close by saying thank you, moms, for choosing life. Babies are essential. And thank you for caring for the soul. Even though, you know, we were talking recently about sickness. I know moms for many months are very uncomfortable and have many sick symptoms. But thank you for enduring that for the precious children. They are essential. And the bottom line is, my message is not meant to cause you to hate our governor or to hate the governor of New York. My message is the opposite. My message is pray for these people to realize they need the love of Christ in their hearts. I said we wouldn't turn to another passage, so we won't. But if you want to write one down, it's Matthew 18, 1 through 4. When Jesus was asked about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who did he choose? A little child. They are essential. And you know what God desires? He desires every person in this world, including our governor, including the governor of New York. He wants those two people and a lot of others to become a child of his. He wants to forgive them and to save them. And this morning, if you do not yet know Jesus Christ, he loves you. You are essential to him. He loves you. Underneath are those everlasting arms. One day he wants to put his everlasting arms around you as his child. He doesn't want to cast you into hell to judgment. He died to save you. Jesus is the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh. He came to this earth, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. He wants to save you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you for these moms here today and the great sacrifice they have made. Lord, please help them to know that they are essential, that they are loved and appreciated. And so, Lord, please work in our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen.